You're listening to a teaser for Book Riot Podcast premium content. If you want to hear the rest, join us at patreon.com/bookriotpodcast. For just $10 a month, get access to our full library of premium content, in addition to receiving early ad-free access to the regular episodes you hear in the show. Here we go.
I don't have to do an intro.
No, we're just here.
Everyone in here knows what this is. Don't have to warm somebody up. You already got a warm audience, Rebecca, because it's summer draft time.
Woo woo!
The heart, one of the two hearts. It's a bi-cardio heart of the reading year. It's the fall and the summer. If you had to pick one, are you picking May, June, July, or April to July, or are you picking September into October?
I'm taking the fall. That's the literary fiction big season. That's my favorite. And I'm really coming around to like January and February also.
January is if you know, you know, right? Mm-hmm. It's the craft beer of the reading years, like those first couple weeks in January.
Summer is really fun, and it's also the season where we are least likely to have like something that we just take off the board at the start, because it's an obvious, you know, huge hit, which I think makes the summer draft more interesting.
Before we get into it, what did you think of the scrolling and the catalog perusal? What was your takeaway?
There's a lot of stuff I'm interested in. I think I'm going to have a really good reading summer. I think we're all going to have a good reading summer. There are no big literary... Well, that's not true. There are some big literary names, but there's nothing that I expect to be like a blockbuster. We don't have the equivalent of like a Colson Whitehead or...
The Jesmond Zadie Colson Lauren situation was unique. And we knew it at the time, but it's brought to bear even more now.
Yeah. And, you know, back in the winter, we had the Salman Rushdie Knife that we were both really excited about. Less certain that it was going to be a huge sensation, but that was...
Number five on the hardcover nonfiction
this week. That we were both going to compete for to have in our draft picks last year. I didn't see any here. I guess maybe the way to open it is I don't see any that I feel like I have to get them off the board before you get them off the board. But it's pretty generally strong. Like maybe no major outliers on the high end, but the middle of the list feels really strong and interesting. I think we'll probably have varied lists in a way that's fun there are so many... Contenders?
The most I can think of where I'm like, I don't need 20 titles. There's no chance you can have 10 overlap. Like I could do fine with 12 probably.
Right. I think 13. So too. I think so too. And there are because of that, there's also like, I don't have my top 10 that I feel like I need to like strategize around and carefully guide through this. I've got a big list of contenders and I can probably just sort of pick them as we go along. You won the winter draft by a large margin.
What was it? What did it for me? Do you remember? I remember what I picked.
I think you had the Leigh Bardugo. That was one. And you had a couple. You just had more crowd pleasers than I did, which I kind of knew in the moment. I remember being like, some of these are for me.
You had more crowd pleasers. I see what you're trying to do. I had better picks is what you're really trying to say. Good, more crowd pleasers.
Well, you got more votes. So
okay, there you go. Yeah.
It was like 70 to 30. You really carried it away.
Okay, good. Good for me. So that means
congratulations
that you get the first pick. And it's a weak draft, so it doesn't really matter. So I'm happy to see that.
It doesn't matter. I'm a little bummed that I'm getting the first pick on this one.
Maybe I should try to
frankly,
throw this
because it doesn't
one,
feel
so
like getting away with something
the
way it sometimes does. But
at all.
Are you ready to jump in? Anything you want to
observe? I guess one last two things, I guess, in the meta kind of way. I don't know why it hit me so hard. I mean, there's a lot of books, and we always know that. But the thing is, I'm scrolling past stuff that's sort of interesting. Maybe I was like, if I'm not going to read that book, who is going to read that? if we're not going to pick... I mean, you know what I'm saying? Where are these books going? Where are their 25,000 print runs going for some of these things? I don't understand. And, you know, we don't work directly in the published industry, and sometimes I feel like I have my handle on it. But I had a moment of, weird disassociation of like, what is this industry? What are all these books? Who is reading? Who is making this? It was a weird moment. And boy, the commercial romance,
The romanticism is everywhere.
So many. The proliferation the people we were talking about in the fall that said they're getting into it, it's coming home.
They're
in the
into
summer.
It. Yeah. Yep. It's I have the same observation, especially about just the commercial romance. Like, romanticy is everywhere, but I've hit the place with the illustrated covers of commercial romance where I can't tell them apart.
I've got like face blindness. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, initially it was distinguishing those titles from the more classic like bodice ripper covers. But now this just is the thing, and they are running together for me. It's like, which one is this? Is this
yeah,
the
world? And maybe it does. About? It matters more to readers who care about that they know what the vibe is than to distinguish between them. Because, again, to use someone I love dearly and lives in the same domicile as I, like, three books later, she doesn't remember what happened in the book that she read three books ago. Like, it's kind of not the point. Right. It can be not the point. I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, but I think it is a feature, not the bug. Is
I agree.
They kind of all seem like the same thing because you're kind of back to the buffet for another helping spoonful of mac and cheese.
Yeah, like yesterday, the Book Riot Deals email had some commercial romance in it that I saw Trisha from the When in Romance podcast say it was one of her favorite books of last year. And I noticed that like it was on sale for $1.99, but if you're a Prime member, you get it for free. And I was like, okay, I trust these people. This is a free romance. I have downloaded it. It's sitting on my iPad. I have no idea what it's called, who it's by, or what it's about, but I'm going to read it at some point.
You're going to be thumbing through your Kindle library, say, which of these things, which one was it?
You know, it's going to be, it'll be like a Sunday afternoon in the middle of the summer. I'll be into like the bourbon lemonade, and it'll be like, let's just read a romance. What do I have in here? And probably a week later, I also won't be able to tell you what happened in it, except that people met and they did things to each other, and then they fought, and then they resolved and did more things to each other and lived happily ever after.
Yep. All right. With all that throat clearing out of the way, Rebecca, you were on the clock for the first pick.
Okay. I guess
we're picking 10 snake draft.
Yeah. We're picking 10. Thanks so much for listening. Join us at patreon.com/bookriotpodcast to hear the rest of this episode and get access to our full back catalog of premium content. That's patreon.com/bookriotpodcast.